1.
Now here we go with Mark Edward. So I read the book, which I thought was very interesting. I thought, okay, I've always wanted to kind of get the lowdown on, I mean, what do you call it? A fake psychic network? Psychic hotlines?
I don't know. They're all fake.
Right.
There is no such thing as a psychic. That's why when you say fake psychic, it's redundant.
I guess that's true.
Yeah.
It'd be like saying milky, very milky milk.
Yeah.
2.
The fake psychic thing is fascinating. I want to get a little bit of background on this because now you're an outspoken skeptic. So it's like you make a point to say, hey, psychics are fake. This is fake. But before that, that was what paid the bills. So I'm wondering, you know, how'd you get into this?
I was a skeptic all along. My idea was to scam the scammers. So the book is leaning towards a believer, but the idea was that I wanted to learn and understand all the methods they were using. And you can't just get the methods by saying, hey, how did you do that? They'll just say, I have psychic powers, you know?
3.
So I had to learn how to manipulate people just like they did. So I was never a believer. And even though, yeah, I did take some money from people for a while, it was the ends justified the means. And I stand by that. Because if you read the book, you'll get the drift pretty strong.
I did. And I got the drift. Yeah.
4.
All psychics are actors portraying the part of a voodoo priest or whatever you decide you want to work on to get mm-hmm. your character together. But it's just like a magician that works on a character, and it's all fake.
And I wonder, I'm naive, Mark, what can I say? Are some of these people, do they believe that they're that, but they're just really good at reading other people using conventional techniques? Or are they all... Is it such a skill that you can't do it by accident and everyone who does it is just a scammer?
5.
Oh, you can do it by accident. Many people who thought they were psychic and were going around giving people advice and readings realized that all they were doing was cold reading, but they didn't know it. And in our work that we do, we recently had a woman who, I won't mention any names, but... She's completely deluded that she is real. And yet, you know, we get readings and there's nothing there. It's all just, she's deluded.
6.
I like to say that 95% of the people out there, in my opinion, again, this is my opinion, it may not be anybody else's, through my experience, 95% of the people who are out there doing business and getting paid to be psychic are outright charlatans and know what they're doing is fake. The other 5% can kind of be divided into two areas.
7.
2.5% are deluded, like this woman that we've been talking to. She just doesn't know any better. She is naive. She thinks that just common sense or intuition is some sort of special power that she has. Then the other 2.5% are really strongly intuitive, compassionate people who really believe they're helping people. And they do. But when you balance 2.5% against 97.5%, the odds are not in your favor.
8.
So,
yeah.
Buyer beware. That's all. I mean, if you can find somebody you can talk to, it doesn't have to be a psychic. It could be a bartender or a coach or I don't care, you know. But be careful because the whole point is they get their hooks in you. They try and find, we call them grief vampires. They're the ones that say they talk to the dead and all that. Once they get their claws into you and they find your weakness, they will never let go.
9.
I've experienced some of this. I think we talked about this months ago when I was first chatting with you. Mm-hmm. My wife's side of the family friend, something, something, something. She is very superstitious, but also she was loaded. She inherited the money, as one does.
Not a good combination.
Not a good combination, no. And the psychic, or the, you know, when I say psychic, I'm now talking officially about it. Since we all know all psychics are fake, I don't have to say fake psychic. It's just easier. I'll just say psychic.
Right.
The psychic that she'd hired coincidentally would want to come over after a while.
10.
and started, you know, she was giving her money and money and money and money and giving her probably like $100,000 or something like that by this point. And then the woman's coming over and saying, you know, I think that there are objects in your house that actually have, in Chinese, it's called like xie qi, like bad energy or something like that, like evil spirits, basically, is what that sort of translates to.
11.
So she came over and she managed to spot family heirlooms and expensive things that of just coincidentally.
We'll take care of those for you. We'll take care of those.
But that's a family heirloom. Don't worry. I'm just going to take it and put it in my sacred
vault.
Chamber or vault or whatever. And, you know, I'm going to cleanse it for you
$20,000. I'm laughing, but I mean.
It's laughable. It's sad, but it's laughable.
It is. It is. But, you know, people are superstitious and it's very sad.
12.
The woman that I'm talking about, she lost $780,000.
Wow. Ugh. makes my head hurt hearing about that.
And she kept going back because it's an addiction. You know, they're like psychic junkies. They believe that that object is cursed. And they'll pay to have that psychic or that medium plate it in gold, but it's going to cost $30,000 to do that, and that will keep the evil spirits inside the object. I mean, it goes on and on and on and on.
13.
There's technique here, and I would love to get into the technique, because the technique that you discuss in the book is called cold reading. Can you explain what this is? This is a really fascinating thing that a lot of people can do and everyone has seen, but they just didn't know what it was called.
I know, but I want to make a very important point that you just covered. Everyone wants to know the technique. And the last thing I want to do is inculcate a whole new crop of
phonies,
scam artists.
Yeah.
You know?
14.
So I'm happy to reveal the secrets that I know, but I don't feel good about it. Because once you understand, if you understand it and you're a skeptical, rational person, that's one thing. If you hear this and you understand it as a way to get a leg up on everybody else, I'm aware of that.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but I'll tell you the difference. There's cold readings and there's hot readings.
15.
Cold reading is when you meet somebody you've never met before and you convince them that you know everything about them, past, present, and future. And it is a technique. It can be learned. And the more you do it, it's like juggling or magic or anything else. The more you learn it and practice it, the better you get at it. And I personally love it because my background is in magic. So if I can weave some of the techniques of cold reading into my mentalism or my magic when I'm performing in the midst of that, it adds another layer of believability.
16.
So as an actor, again, it helps get inside somebody's head. And sometimes it's really powerful because you're working with suggestion and coincidence. But all it is you're just giving somebody the once over. For me, it's visually, you know, as soon as I meet somebody or I see them, if I'm sitting at a little table reading tarot cards, I see somebody walk in the door, I immediately give them the once over.
17.
I look at their shoes, their hair, their clothes, the way they're walking, their general attitude. And generally, before they even sit down at the table, I know everything I need to know about them. I know what they want to know. I know where they want to go. And there's nothing psychic about it. It's just profiling, basically. And it's called, in the FBI and CIA, it's called situational awareness.
Mm-hmm.
18.
You know, when you walk into a room and you're trained, you immediately, you know, somebody who works in like a government agency, they come in, they look for the exits. They look, you know, who are they going to kill first if they have to get out of there? I mean, that's taking it to an extreme. But the point is, you're reading the person.
19.
And by the time they sit down, if they're gullible enough and they're vulnerable enough, you can zone right in on that and start to tell them things about themselves that they're like, there's no way in the world the psychic could have known that. I love that phrase. Mm-hmm. That's one of my favorites. That's probably going to be the title of my next book is there's no way the psychic could have known that. And I'm here to say, oh, yes, there is.
20.
Okay, so cold reading has been around for, I don't know, millennia. It's just going with your gut level, your intuition, and making bold statements as if they're facts. And since you're the power in the power position, even if you're wrong, the sitter will try and adjust it and connect the dots for you. So you're already, even if you're wrong, you can be right. So that's cold reading. Many books written about it.
21.
Hot reading, of course, is what? Google?
Oh, that's the good stuff. That's the good stuff. What they do is they search your social media. Once they have your name,
yeah,
you go to Facebook, you go to Foursquare, any of these social media apps, and you put it in. So the deal is most of these big time mediums, you know, the lowest of the low, they work with 200 or 300 people at a time.
22.
And when you buy your ticket to see them, you're using your credit card. You're not paying them cash like in a carnival. So once they have your credit card and you're assigned a seat number, how hard is it to spend 10 or 15 minutes? We do it all the time in our show that we do where we teach this. So I just simply go into your files and I try to go back a bit. I don't take stuff that you might remember.
23.
But I look at things that are in your past on your Facebook or, you know, I mean, we have an obituary file too, you know. You can look up when your father died or, I mean, information is out there. So then suddenly when I'm walking through the crowd, I say, I'm picking up baby clothes. Why am I picking up baby clothes? And it was great because the woman said, wow, that's crazy. I just put pictures of baby clothes up on Facebook. Boom.
24.
You'd think she would have put those things together.
No. And even though they're right in their face, they don't put it together because they want to believe they paid their money for a ticket, sometimes a lot of money, to sit down in the front. Of course, that's where most of the readings are done because they want your money. They don't care about the cheap seats. So hot reading is very, very powerful. Hot reading is the preferred method today.
25.
Unless you've made it, if you're somebody who's really gotten to the top and you already have a TV show and you're set, they get lazy. They don't need hits. They just fall back on cold reading.
Interesting.
You know, finding someone who you can talk to who will listen to you, because that's all a psychic does is listen and then figure out what their plan is on how they're going to manipulate that. I don't really see anything wrong with two people talking to each other. I really think that people have lost the ability to just talk to each other.
26.
The point is, you don't need a psychic. You don't need a medium. Why does a medium have to be in the middle between you and your dead person or whatever it is? They are just taking advantage of your insecurity about how you don't trust your own judgment. So the best thing to do is, you know, if you find somebody you can talk to, I mean, I'll give you an example. I'll get off the track a little bit, but I worked with a television show where we had a woman who, she lost $150,000 to a psychic.
Oof.
Yeah.
27.
And she lost her business. She lost her husband, her marriage. She had an art gallery in Beverly Hills. She was doing very well. At this point, she was ruined. So a couple years go by and the same woman is on this other show that I remember you, you know, and I said, you don't go to a psychic anymore, do you? And she said, oh, no, no, no. I have a life coach now.
Oh, no.
So the point is people need someone to talk to, a bartender, a librarian. There are many people who are intuitive and kind who might be able to answer your questions without getting a hook in you.
28.
So I think that's what we keep our antennas out for. All I can do is write and publish and lecture and show the tricks so that you can be more aware of them. So what do you do? I think that you, number one, buyer beware, you know, like I said, if they could really do these things, they wouldn't need your money. They just go to the racetrack.
29.
When you're in a situation when you need help or when you feel weak and somebody suddenly comes into the picture out of nowhere, ask yourself, what is more likely? That this person is in touch with some sort of higher spiritual power, or are they just a clever manipulator of my emotions? Because that's all it is. It's based on emotion.
30.
Why are we surprised that somebody knows about human nature and is able to look at the muscles in your face and tell you things? You can figure it out yourself. Most people know the answer to the question that they have. They just don't want to answer it. They want someone else to validate it for them. So if you can have the strength to ask yourself that question, you don't need to spend $780,000.
Mark Edward, thank you very much. This is fascinating. I love this stuff. I'm glad we got a chance to finally do this.
Thank you. Me too.